So today is part 8 of our series, Leap of Faith. I want to thank the elders for this opportunity. I appreciate it. It's a word that the Lord has been challenging me with lately, especially in the area of faith. And we're going to be going through a story, a well-known story from the Old Testament about David and Goliath, and actually how David had to fight something that was way bigger than he was. Our future is secure, and the good news is that we're not alone in it. God is always with us. He will rescue us and he will give us the victory. And I felt that, you know, this is a season. I know we're in isolation, but this isn't when our faith is put into neutral or put into reverse. This is when our faith, you put faith into gear, and faith is an action word. And my heart is that as you're encouraged with what I've got to share, you'll see David's response and how our response needs to be like his. So ladies, please don't dial out. This isn't about a boy's story. This is actually for everybody. It's choosing faith over fear.
It's good.
And as far as having a title, I'm calling this Five Stones of Grace and a Sling of Faith. I'm going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 16 and 17 and seeing some characters and how they chose to face a giant and respond. Not just David, but also Saul, the Israelite army, and Goliath. And we know as believers in Ephesians 6:12 that our struggle isn't against flesh and blood. Sometimes the giants we face do feel like people, but it really is about the rulers against the authorities, the powers of this dark world. And we do have a hope, and our hope is the Lord. So let's first look at Samuel. So here you have Samuel. He's a prophet of God. He's actually on his way to pick out a new king, and he's in mourning. In fact, it says he's lamenting over King Saul, actually his disobedience. And the Lord says to Samuel, "You've been mourning long enough. Really, it's a time to move on." And while I was preparing this, I felt like some people have been in a season of mourning, and the Lord is saying, "You've been mourning long enough." So the Lord tells Samuel to go to Bethlehem to find the house of Jesse and to anoint one of his sons as the new king. And Samuel's response out of this was obedience. In verse 4, it says, "So Samuel did as the Lord instructed." In our journey of faith, may obedience be our bedrock. Let us follow God's instructions. So Samuel starts going through the lineup of Jesse's sons, and he seems quite impressed with some of them. In fact, we find the classic verse that we love to quote in verse 7. "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" So all seven sons of Jesse are presented to Samuel, and Samuel says to Jesse, "The Lord hasn't chosen any of these. Are these all your sons?" And we know the story. Jesse says, "Actually, I have one more. He's the youngest. His name's David. He's out in the fields. He's a shepherd." And Jesse calls David, and Samuel anoints him with oil in front of his father and his brothers. Verse 13, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on." Now enter Paul. So I mentioned about Saul. King Saul, he's in a bad place. He is Israel's first king. He was chosen. He was anointed by God, commander and leader of the Israelite army. But scripture says that God had rejected him as king. In fact, the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him, and an evil spirit of the Lord was sent to torment him, filling him with depression and fear. And I thought, what a terrible place to be. You've been chosen and anointed by God. But as a consequence, because of Saul taking things into his own hands and being impatient and ultimately being disobedient to God's instructions, he's in such a place. And so some of Saul's servants think, "You know what, Saul, you need a good musician. You need some music to soothe your soul." And he says, "Great idea. Who have you got in mind?" And one of his servants actually say to him, "One of Jesse's sons, and his name's David. You know, he plays a mean harp, and he's a man of war. He's got good judgment, and actually the Lord is with him." So Saul agrees, and he says, "Send this message to Jesse. Jesse, I want your son David, the shepherd boy." And so David comes and he plays the harp and it makes Saul feel better. And in fact, it actually says that Saul ended up loving David very much and making him his armor bearer, which is somebody that would carry the king's shield and possibly some weapons. But his job was to protect the king. And here we have a shepherd boy who was used to protecting his flock, now an armor bearer protecting his king. And David's response was this: even though he was anointed as the new king, he served Saul. And it made me think of a future king, our King of Kings, anointed, who came to serve. Next we have David. So before David was Saul's armor bearer, he was a shepherd. And he had one job, that was to tend to his family's flocks. Probably a challenging job with a lot of responsibility. I mean, he had to know how many sheep and goats there were. He had to know their calls in case any of them went missing. He had to know where to lead and guide them every day for rest as well as food. And most importantly, he had to protect them from predators such as bears and lions. David had to fight these predators off. He had to kill them. And I'm sure he probably had some battle scars. But he wasn't scared of it because he, despite the risk, he knew that he had to protect his flock because they were valuable. And he must have had a lot of time on his hands watching and waiting on the flocks. And maybe during those times, he practiced his harp, he sang some songs, and he practiced his sling. Now enter Goliath and the Philistine army. And here's really where I want to get into lessons in fighting giants. So Goliath, the Israelites and the Philistines knew each other well. In fact, the Philistines had defeated the Israelites in the past. And here they were facing each other again on opposite hills. And Goliath was a champion soldier, which meant that he was top of his class. You know, he was the winner, he won, and everybody lost. He wasn't the guy getting the well done, great participation award, right? When he also meant that he had probably killed a lot of men. He was impressive. Scripture talks about his armor, how it's, you know, he had a helmet, he had a coat of meshed rings, he had shin protectors. His weapons of choice was a javelin and a spear. And he too had an armor bearer who carried his shield and his sword. I'm sure compared to David, he was impressive. And so getting to my first point is giants can appear impressive and intimidating. In verse 8 from 1 Samuel 17, it says, Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. Why are you all coming out to fight? He called. I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. Goliath stood and he shouted at the Israelites. And sometimes the giants we face stand and shout at us. And Goliath challenged the army's identity. He called them servants of Saul versus soldiers. And point number two, giants shout, taunt, and challenge our identity, our value, our worth. I find it interesting that then Goliath starts to negotiate with the Israelite army. He says, choose a man to come and fight me. If he, then. If I, then. And point number three, never negotiate with a giant, because a giant's job is to kill you. You see, Saul and the Israelites' response to Goliath's taunt was this: they were dismayed and terrified. Here were trained soldiers, an army who had been in battles before, terrified. In fact, it says that they fled from him in great fear. They ran away, and that's what giants do to us. In the natural, we have automatic responses when we are faced with a danger or a threat. Flight, we run. Freeze, we don't move. Fight, and I'd like to add a fourth, faith. And it made me think, what will my response be, or what will your response be when we do face a giant? Or maybe you're currently facing a giant. Will you run? Will you freeze? Will you fight? Or will you have faith? My hope is that you will choose to fight with faith.
That's good.
The other part of what Goliath says is in verse 9, have a man fight and kill me, and we will become your slaves. But if I overcome and kill you, you will become our subjects and serve us. Number four, if you don't kill the giant, you will serve it. You see, Goliath taunted and mocked the Israelite army for 40 days, day and night, shouting his defiance In verse 16, it says, "For 40 days, every morning and evening, the Philistine champion strutted in front of the Israelite army." In biblical numerics, the number 40 usually is associated with testing and trials. For example, Moses was on the mountain for 40 days. It rained for 40 days with Noah. Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years, and Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. Giants are relentless. They take as long as it takes to defeat you, and they chip away at your confidence, your worth, your value, your identity. And maybe that's what it feels like for you today. Day and night, you're hearing the mocking and taunting of a giant. Yet David's response to Goliath's threat was this, in chapter 17, verses 26. "Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" To defy means to brazenly challenge. Be defiant. And I thought, am I allowing a giant to brazenly and defiantly challenge me? See, David looks past Goliath's bigness and he calls him out for who he is. And then he reminds his fellow Israelites who they are and whose they are. The army of the living God. Mm-hmm. And may that be our response when we're facing giants. Let us remember who we are. Chosen, anointed, his bride, his treasured possession, and whose we belong to. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great shepherd, the great Alpha and Omega.
Amen.
And let us remember and remind others when they are facing their giants, who they belong to. You see, Saul hears David's response and he calls for him. And here we find David encouraging and assuring Saul, saying, "Don't worry about this Philistine, I will fight him." Saul says, "Don't be ridiculous, you're young. Goliath's been a man of war since his youth." But David persisted. Another response of David was persistence, perseverance, and that's what we need when we face and fight giants. Then David starts to recount and remember the days when he was a shepherd, defending his sheep from bears and lions. And in verse 37, he says, "The Lord, who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine." See, David gives God the glory for rescuing him, and he prophesies that he will do it again. And may that be our response when we're facing and fighting giants. Let us remember that we can't do it in our own strength. Let us give God the glory because he is the only one who can rescue us. Let's trust him to do it again. God has proven to David that he will protect him, his own sheep. The great shepherd protected David, and he will do it again, and he'll do it for us. Let's be encouraged to remember the times when God has rescued us before in the past, because he is faithful and he will do it again. Saul, who really should have been acting like a shepherd to his own flock, the army, be the one fighting out front, encouraging his men, rather abdicates his power and authority and tries to help David by giving him his armor to go and fight Goliath with. And we know that David tries it on and they feel uncomfortable and he says, "No, I'm not going to do it." In verse 40, it says, "He, David, picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them in his shepherd's bag. Then, armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine." Finally, here we have David facing Goliath. Number 5, we need to face our giant. You see, David had never fought Goliath before, a lion and a bear, yes. But like us, sometimes we've fought smaller things, but never something like this. Things like hopelessness, things like stress and anxiety and fear, unemployment or debt, pride, insecurity, comparison. You know what giant you're facing. It challenges your faith. It scrapes away at what you believe, not just in your head, but also in your heart. But now is the time to pick up your sling of faith. David, whose name means beloved, is facing Goliath, whose name means exposer or revealer. And isn't that just what giants do? They expose and they reveal to us what's in our thoughts, what's in our hearts. And our response is to always remember when we are in a battle, we are his beloved. Now, I'm sure at that stage, the Philistines started to laugh and probably celebrate a sure victory when they saw David coming across the valley. And the Israelite army probably started packing things up and saying their goodbyes, sure of a defeat. Yet in verse 45, David's response to Goliath was this: "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, But I come to you in the name of the Lord's heaven, the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. May our response be, when we fight our giant, to remember whose we are, the Lord of heaven's armies, and we stand in his authority when we face these giants. David continues with verse 46, saying, today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled there will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. That's why testimonies are so important. You see, when others see and hear of the giants that we've fought, it gives them the strength and the courage to fight theirs. God has given the glory, and the whole world will know that there is a God. Not just on Sundays at church, but with your friends and your families, your work colleagues, your school buddies, strangers that don't know Jesus yet. Because you may very well be the next person that they need to hear from to help them fight their giant. David then starts to declare to Goliath his downfall, his defeat, and his death. And that's what we need to do. Number 6, we need to prophesy and declare to the giants we face what will become of them by using God's word. So David starts to run towards Goliath, and David's response was to run towards. To be honest, I don't think that necessarily would have been my response. But David was confident of who God was, and he already knew that he would have the victory. So he reaches into his shepherd's pouch and he pulls out one of the 5 smooth stones he had chosen. 5, another number. Scripture didn't have to say how many stones David chose, but it did. And the number 5 speaks of grace. And I felt as I was preparing this, the Lord said that you will always carry my power, my authority, and my grace into a battle.
Thank you, Lord.
What stones of grace do you and I carry into, what stones of grace do you carry in your spiritual pouch when fighting a giant? Is it praise? Is it thanksgiving? Is it repentance? Is it rest? Is it kindness? We need those stones to start putting into our sling of faith. Lately, I've been listening to a song by Brandon Lake called We Praise You. And I'm going to say the lyrics, they've been powerful for me. It says, let praise be a weapon that silences the enemy. Let praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety. Let it rise, let praise arise. We sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. We sing with all we are and we claim your victory. Let it rise, let praise arise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side, forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Let faith be the song that overcomes the raging sea. Let faith be the song that calms the storm inside of me. Let it rise, let praise arise. And this is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you. We praise you. A small side note about David and his sling. David was probably an expert in using a sling. There were actual soldiers that used them for weapons of warfare. In Judges 20:16, we see one of among Benjamin's elite troops, there were 700 men who used a sling and could hit a target within a hair's breadth without missing. And slings were made of long, thin strips with a woven pouch that carried the stone. And they say that they could travel up to 400 meters, which is about a quarter of a mile, with a speed of 100 kilometers with 60 miles an hour and hit its target. To sound a bit gross, but if that hit a man's face, there would be damage done. And all those days, all those months, all those years of David out in the wilderness practicing, I feel is such a time as this, for such a time as this. We need to know what our spiritual weapons are. We need to practice them and we need to use them. You know, this has made me look at Ephesians 6:10 to 18 in a new light. We all know the armor of God. It used to be something cute that you could do, you know, when you get out of bed in the morning, don't forget to put on your armor. I wasn't a fan of that because I used to think, well, why did you take it off? When did you take it off? Don't you need it when you sleep? But I've looked at the message, and I want to encourage you this week. I challenge you, look at the armor that we've been given. And use it. We have been given a defensive weapon, and that is the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. And that's how we fight giants. Mm. Here's the message. And that about wraps it up. God is strong and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you'll be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. So be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help that you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over, but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. You know, Jesus faced some giants when he came to earth as a man. And two of the things that he used was prayer and saying, "It is written." So David hits his mark and Goliath falls. What a morale booster that must have been for Saul and the Israelite army. You know, moments before, they were probably looking at Goliath 1 and David 0. And one man's attitude was of defeat, resulting in a whole bunch of an army feeling defeated. Yet another man's attitude was to fight confidently in the Lord's name, which caused a whole army to see the victory. Leaders have great influence over those that they're leading. Your attitude matters because it impacts those around you. I love David's response. He follows through with his promise and he runs over to Goliath's fallen body. He uses Goliath's sword and he cuts off his head. This is my takeaway from it. You know, a stone didn't kill Goliath, a sword did. But to get to that sword, David had to activate his sling of faith. Number 7. We need to cut the head off the giant we face so that it no longer has life. Remember how I said Goliath's name was exposer? Giants expose things in us, usually in our hearts, about what we think about others, ourselves, and God. Small little plug for Freedom Sessions. So in closing, we all face personal giants, family giants, global giants, but the good news is this, that we don't have to face it alone, that God is with us, he will rescue us, and you will see the victory. So let our response be like David's. He faced his giant. He knew who he was and whose he was. He was willing to fight. He persevered. He gave God the glory for rescuing him. He prophesied to the giant who his God is. He used his weapon, a sling of faith and a stone of grace, and he cut the head off his giant. Lastly, number 8, remember this. A giant will always be bigger than us, but our God is bigger than any giant we will ever face. I felt that we needed to pray for people that are facing particular giants. And if you're in a good season, that's wonderful. Why don't you join with me to pray for those that you know that are facing things that are bigger than them? Mm. So Father, we trust you. We thank you that we are not alone. We thank you that you are our great rescuer. We thank you that you do give us the victory. And for my friends who are facing things that are bigger than them, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, would you empower them? Would you stir up their faith? Would you give them wisdom to know what stones of grace to start picking up? Would you cause them to swing those things, whatever they're facing, and start to see the victory? Mm. Lord, we trust you. We thank you. Pray for testimonies this week of giants coming down. In Jesus' name, amen.